Right, we'll get into a topic today. As you can probably see from the title on the YouTube video, we're picking our Premiership Team of the Year, but with a bit of a twist. If you're a long-term fan of the podcast, you'll know that we've done this in the past. We've basically used the fact that the Premiership has 12 teams to our advantage, and what we do is we pick 11 footballers, because each team has 11 players plus a manager equals 12. So what we do is we basically pick a team of 11 and a manager, but you can only have one person from each team. Do you follow, guys?
With you.
Good. Got right, it. We get into it. We're going to do it team-wise. We're going to start at the bottom of the league and work our way up. Who was bottom, Gamble?
I think it was Heart of Midlothian.
Do I tell Ewan Murray that? He's still struggling, isn't he? Who's your Hearts player?
So my Hearts player, to be honest with you, they're lucky that they've even got an entry here, to be honest with you. But I've probably taken a kind of easy route here, and I've gone for young Aaron Hickey.
Controversial straight away.
But I think if you could even stretch to say that there's any sort of positive from this season for Hearts, then you would say that it's the kind of emergence of Hickey. To be honest with you, I still think he's, like, I've watched him a good few times. I have been impressed with him. I do think some of the hype around him is maybe yet to be kind of well-founded, I think. But he certainly is obviously a promising young player. He came into the Scottish Cup final against Celtic, obviously, season before last. Coped well with that occasion, and he has obviously gone on to put in a good few performances this season. But as I say, struggling to pick one from Hearts, to be honest. But yeah, I think I'm sure a lot of Hearts fans would, if there's one thing to remember from this disaster of a season from them, it's probably Aaron Hickey's emergence into the first team.
Aye, I mean, he's got a bright future ahead of him. I think some folk go overboard a wee bit, and he's probably not helped sometimes by like all the scouts and the interest we've heard for, like, I mean, Celtic have been mentioned, I think Man City have been mentioned.
I heard some mad European team.
That's complete bullshit. I mean, I think he's a decent player, but hopefully he stays at Hearts for a wee bit. I just couldn't pick a Hearts player, so I've gone for the main man. Not Craig Levein, not Austin McPhee, but Daniel Stendel. I couldn't even remember what the Hearts manager was called. That's how much of an influence he's had in me. But the fact that he managed to beat your lot, which is obviously Rangers, twice, derailed your season effectively, killed it off, and still finish bottom of the league with a team of Hearts quality. I mean, that's just award-winning stuff.
I think that says more about Rangers than it does about Hearts or Daniel Stendel, to be fair. But yeah, thank you for reminding me of that, Hamish, and reminding Gamble of that as well. Hearts-wise, I kind of went for a similar kind of thing to Craig. I went for Andy Irvine.
Played a lot of games, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, and actually, I mean, he's the stats aren't great for any Hearts player, but he does have the highest assist per minute in the Hearts squad with a massive 0.14. So it's still not great, but anytime I've seen him, he's been fairly impressive, quite tidy on the ball, in the final third and in transition play for Hearts. He's actually Hearts' best player at that as well, and within the league, his transition play, for central midfielders, it's what they call an easy E or an easy rating. Credit to Modern Football for that one. He's actually third in the league for that, behind Ryan Jack and Matty Kennedy. So I think the kind of the senses on Andy Irvine is that, you know, he probably is going to move on from Hearts sooner rather than later, and he's got the potential to obviously be, you know, a very, very good player moving forward. But for me, it was probably between Hickey and Irvine, and just probably because of other players I've got in my team, I went for Andy Irvine.
Right, Hamilton, who were second bottom, I've gone for Hamilton. Jamie Hamilton from Hamilton, just because it was easy to say that. And also, 18 years old, debut season. He played 12 games. Do you know how many red cards he got?
I was going to say, is this because he's top of the... How many was it? Four?
I think it's four. I had three down in my notes,
unless he maybe had one rescinded or something. But he played 12 games, sorry, in his debut season, 18 years old, sent off three times. Is that not just remarkable?
A quarter of the games, that's it's one way to make your mark in a debut season, isn't it?
I think, to be fair, the only one I remember was against Celtic, and I think that was harsh. Was it for a last man challenge or something? And I think the other one was something daft. It was never, could be wrong, I'm not a Hamilton fan, but it was never seemed to be for like real violent conduct or something. It was maybe just, you know, an experience of that. So he's getting a bit of a sympathy vote in my team. I realise I've not started off that strongly here. I've gone with a manager that's taken, you know, one of the probably the best, richest squads in the country down by about 10 points. And I've also gone for a guy sent off three times. But hey-ho, who are you going for, Gamble?
For Hamilton, another one that I maybe struggled to... In fairness to them, they've done what they always do, haven't they? They've managed to stay in the league, and credit to them for that. My pick for their player in this team of the season is Alex Gogic. What I will say before I start is I've been of the opinion that you've got to earn the right to wear your socks like Francesco Totti. He certainly hasn't, but
Ollie McBurney.
Do you know he's only 26 for some reason? I've had it in my head.
56.
He's probably that because he does.
Definition of a tough paper round, isn't it? Big Gogic.
But I mean, the pure and simple reason I went for him is he's played, I think, all but one game for Hamilton this season, and he's been pretty consistent for them. I think the job that he does kind of in front of the defence is pretty critical to how they play in most games. I know we've maybe poked a bit of fun at him in the past for some of his performances, but he has, particularly the one that stands out in my head, and obviously I'm going to see more of him when he's playing against Rangers, but in Hamilton's victory at Ibrox before all this nonsense happened, he was superb that night. Like, I honestly felt every ball that went into the box, it was just him on the end of it, just heading it away, and he was actually quite a mature player. I was surprised when I seen that he was only 26. As I say, it was a tough one to pick a player from Hamilton, but I think he's played almost every game, and he's been consistent for them, and helped them certainly to achieve their goal of staying up, and they have done.
Fish.
I went for another defender. I went for Scott McMahon. So only 23 years old, same kind of line as Alex Gogic, you know, with the best will in the world to Hamilton, there isn't a great deal to pick from. But he's got 2 goals and 2 assists, and he's been a target for clubs down south as well. As I say, only 23, so a future ahead of him. Definitely, probably away from Hamilton, kind of similar to what I was saying about Andy Irving. But again, any time I've seen him, and it is limited to being against Rangers, he's been fairly decent. So yeah, I went for Scott McMahon, but again, not a lot to pick from in that Hamilton team, I would suggest.
Well, we'll go into a team with, you know, much better players, Ross County. Who are you going for there?
So for myself there, this might be a bit of a controversial one. I went for Ross Stewart up front. Spoiler alert, he's in a front three. Wow. So Ross Stewart, he's got 7 goals this season, which is the same as his teammate Billy Mackay, but he's actually played about 37 minutes less than Billy Mackay this season, and he was also injured for 8 games, which kind of stalled this season. Obviously, we know he's kind of came from playing in the Ayrshire Juniors and stuff like that. And he's done quite well. I think, you know, he's another one looking forward that is on an upward trajectory. And as I say, a decent amount of goals, and just a shame he get injured. But I've gone for Ross Stewart there and as the first of my front three.
Completely irrelevant fact, he's 1 day older than me, Ross Stewart.
Another completely irrelevant fact, his dad's a math teacher at my old school.
Wow. Are you linked to Ross Stewart in any way, Gamble?
I've not got one, lads, I'm sorry.
Got to come to this with Ross Stewart facts, come on. Who's your county player?
So I was actually torn between our man, Stewart, and the one I went for, which is Josh Mullen.
Yes.
So I actually think he's had a very good season. The reason I opted for Mullen over Stewart was purely down to games played. I think he's only scored 1 goal this season. Obviously, last season in Championship, he had a much more impact, certainly going forward. I think he obviously has been asked to do a very different job in the team this season. I think he's done it well. So purely for his versatility and games played, I went for Josh Mullen, who is... I went for a 4-3-3 as well, so he's in my midfield.
I didn't attacking football all round. I'm basic 4-4-2, but I've also got Josh Mullen on the right hand side of midfield. No other reason than I needed a right mid and I hadn't picked a county player yet, so going for that. St Mirren, I wonder if we've all got the same St Mirren player. What's the chances?
I think we've got to, surely.
Who's your St Mirren player, Gamble?
I can't believe you came to me first for the pronunciation here, but Vaclav Hladke. Am I getting that?
Yeah, I've got him as well. Fish?
Yep, I've got him as well.
Hat-trick. Just made sense, didn't it?
Aye, the most obvious kind of pick. He's actually got the joint most, sorry, not the joint most, the most saves in the league. Every keeper with 98. So.
But does that say more about the St Mirren defence?
Probably, but you still need somebody in goals to save them, don't you? And I think, the kind of common consensus with Ladke is that he's maybe the best goalkeeper in the league, out with McGregor and Forster, Mark Gillespie possibly at Motherwell as well. And, you know, he could be ending up at Rangers this summer as well. So, but I think that was probably the easiest pick for all of us, I would imagine.
He played every minute of every game for St Mirren this season, which probably says a lot in a team that, you know, was struggling a bit. And St Mirren ended up finishing ninth in the table, which, considering they were, I think I'm right in saying they were bottom for a good bit at the start of the season. Maybe, or certainly near the bottom. I'm thinking around kind of October time. I saw them at Kilmarnock and I'm sure they were struggling badly at that stage. So he's obviously helped them, especially, you know, in the second half of the season as they got a few wins. You think back to that important one against Hearts that probably in the end kept them up, just looking at the table. If Hearts had got a win at St Mirren that day, then God knows how it would have finished. So, I think he's the obvious choice. Eighth place in the league was Kilmarnock. I've gone for Nico Hämäläinen, basically because, unlike Craig, I needed a left back because I didn't go for Aaron Hickey. And I saw Hämäläinen, and to be fair, I was quite pleased with this choice because he was the one that, when I saw Kelly, I was most impressed. Obviously, like, Stuart Finlay had a good season, and you know, Alan Power and Gary Dicker in the midfield are always quite impressive. You know, Liam Miller was good and Brophy scored some goals in the second half of the season. But for me, Hämäläinen, you know, stepping into Greg Taylor's shoes effectively, did quite a good job. He's good going forward. He can defend as well. He's quick. He gets, you know, up and down the park, which obviously nowadays is a necessary trait for a fullback. So he was my choice and I want to see more of him. I think he's had a Finland cap, I'm right in saying, and obviously they're going to be at the Euros whenever it's played, well, next year. So, you know, it could be a bright future for him and we could see him at, you know, a top club in the coming years, I think. Fish? St Mirren?
with Kilmarnock, I kind of needed a right back, so I just went for Stephen O'Donnell, who's obviously been pretty consistent for Kilmarnock over the past couple of years. He also happens to be their third highest goal scorer with 3 goals, which maybe says more about Kilmarnock than anything else. He's also their fourth highest in assists with 3 assists. So I just went for Stephen O'Donnell, nice and consistent. You know what you're getting, kind of right back. But obviously he's moving on now that his contract's expired. I think he's been linked with Motherwell and Dundee United and things like that, which I was a wee bit surprised at, to be fair. I thought he'd maybe be able to kind of step up a level, maybe go down south, but I suppose we'll see. But yeah, Stephen O'Donnell at right back for me.
Campbell?
Same for me, Stephen O'Donnell. Yeah, I think it's pretty much just to echo everything Fish has said there. He's probably not as good a season this season as he did last season, certainly. Obviously, campaign before last. But yeah, he's been consistent. Again, another one who's played virtually near enough every game, I think, if not every game. I didn't actually the 3 goals, third top goal scorer. fair play to him. But I think Kilmarnock fans, they'll be gutted to see him go. And it'll be interesting to see where he goes next, because like Fisher says, I think he could take a step up, certainly. But yeah, another consistent season from him, so it's earned him a space in my team of the season, which I'm sure he'll be delighted about.
St Johnson, top of the bottom six, who wants to kick us off with them? I find this a wee bit of a struggle in a funny way with St Johnson, for a team that in the end did quite well and finished, you know, 7th in the league. For some reason, I struggled.
Yeah. On you go, Fish.
Well, thanks very much. I was kind of the same. There was a couple of candidates. For me, I wasn't really sure what the kind of ground we were on with Matty Kennedy, obviously, because he moved midway through the season. But I went for Ali McCann. in my midfield. I think considering the fact that he only made his senior debut in August, his first season or his first kind of few months with St Johnstone, with the first team, he's been really, really impressive whenever I've seen him. He's very direct, and he's a good ball winner. He's quick and dynamic. And another stat for you is he averages just under 5 interceptions every game. So
fucking hell. Didn't know they did stats like that for the Scottish game.
I know. That's what I mean. I had to dig deep for some of these stats. But yeah, I picked Ali McCann as it's a Northern Irish under 21 international as well. Really, really impressive. Anytime I've seen him. So yeah, Ali McCann for myself.
He's becoming a massive hipster choice, that Ali McCann. Like, everyone's going on about him. He's like, him and Alan Campbell are the two that everyone's absolutely
Football Manager signings
on about. Exactly. But who have I gone for? Can't even find it. Right back, Anthony Ralston. Started 21 games, but that's not the main reason. I feel sorry for him because he's basically been chucked for Celtic. He's thought he had a future. He started, I think I'm right in saying he started a European game at the start of the season. Or maybe he didn't. Maybe he was left out by Lennon. That was a story. But he certainly, last season, he played some big games. I think he started at Ibrox. And now he's, playing for St Johnstone, or he was last season. He sees at Celtic, I've signed, I think, two really good right backs for the future, so his chances are gone, and he's still out in the press saying that, you know, he's got a chance to go back to Celtic and stake a claim for a first team place, and he just doesn't at all. So I feel sorry for him, to be honest. I saw him a few times for St Johnstone. I wasn't massively impressed. I just don't think he's, you know, bulling a china shop, kind of, is the phrase that comes to mind when I see him. He's, I don't know, whoever said he was a right back, it was crazy. He's clearly not a coach. He's a centre back, or, you know, a holding midfielder or something like that. He is not a right back, the size of him and the way he plays. So I feel sorry for him, and I needed a right back as well, so he's gone in there.
Sympathy pick.
My St Johnstone pick is another defender, Jason Kerr, I went for. So purely another one, I think consistency and number of games has been my formula here for getting in the team. But obviously, 23 years old, I think he was made captain last summer, and obviously that, yeah, first season as captain, and he's been very consistent for them. I think obviously St Johnstone first half of the season were absolutely woeful, and then since the kind of maybe December time, definitely after January, they obviously turned it around, somehow managed to finish, as you're saying, Hamish, top of the bottom six. And I think a lot of that is down to how solid they were defensively. So, yeah, Jason Kerr is one of my centre halves in the 4-4-3.
4-4-3. That's cheating. Hibernian. Right, who have I got for Hibs? Scott Allen, picking another former Celtic player. Good to see him back playing. I think he played 30-odd games for Hibs this season. I don't know if he was really spectacular. I think we saw moments. Who can forget that pass?
That's why he's in my team.
That one moment in a 6-1 defeat or something.
The start of the season.
I thought I saw bits and bobs of him playing, and he looked like, you know, he got his happiness back. He was playing again. That stint at Celtic, obviously, when he played, I think, about 6 or 7 matches over a 3-year period at Celtic. Obviously, had loan spells elsewhere, but it's good to see him playing consistently again. I think there's more to come from him as well, but I don't know his age off by hand, but I think he's probably in his peak by now, isn't he? 28. He's running out of time, Scott Allen, so I think next season's a big one for him, but good to see him playing again. And, you know, in a Hibs team that I kind of struggled, there was a few players that did well, but they came in positions where there was better players at other teams for this kind of selection. So Scott Allen, centre mid.
Yeah, I went for Allen as well. I was almost going to go for Christian Doidge up front, but I went for Allen as well. As you say, Hamish, I think that's the first time he's played kind of 30 plus games since the season he had with Hibs in the Championship, like probably his best season of his career, arguably. So and of course the assist for I can't remember who it was that scored at Ibrox, but
Horgan.
It wasn't a, that Horgan. Yeah. It didn't matter who scored, it was all about the pass. But but I think he got 8 assists in total this season, which, to be fair, like when you watch him, he's capable of pulling passes like that out of the locker. He is obviously a talented player. As you say again, Hamish, he maybe doesn't do it consistently enough, and I think Hibs fans will be the first ones to tell you that. But yeah, obviously he'll be chuffed to get 30 games under his belt this season, and he'll need to kick on next season because, as you say, he's not getting any younger. But yeah, Scott Allen for me.
For myself, I did go with Doidge. The second part of my three up front. I think he's the top goal scorer out with any of the Old Firm players. Certainly out with Eduardo Morelos in the league, 12 goals in 28 games. Even though he didn't actually score for Hibs until that hat-trick in September against St Johnston. But I think at the start of the season, probably a lot of folk thought it's just another one of these strikers coming up from England. He'll score maybe 3 or 4 goals and, you know, he'll disappear back down south at the end of the season. But to be fair to him, he's done well. As I mentioned there with the goals, he's done really well for Hibs. He's only got the one assist, but he is more of just a kind of out-and-out goal scorer from what I've seen. Doesn't maybe offer as much all-round as maybe Camberry, for example, or McLean that they've had there before. But certainly a good finisher, dangerous player. So I went for him. I did think of Scott Allen, and I almost actually chucked in Ryan Porteous at centre-half just for a Hibs player, but did a wee bit of research, did a wee bit of thinking, and just went for Doidge there.
Am I right in saying that Doidge didn't score a single goal until, because he was Heckenbottom's kind of marquee signing in the summer, wasn't he? And he didn't score a single goal, and then Heckenbottom got sacked and he scored a hat-trick the next
He scored a hat-trick in the next game, didn't even manage to score in like the League Cup group stages or anything like that. Hadn't scored at all and then scored a hat-trick at St Johnston, so... Yeah.
If ever there's a sign of a player getting confidence and getting, you know, the fans off their back, and I think Hibs paid decent money for him, like not £1 million, but like it was a couple of hundred thousand, I think, like, which is basically unheard of nowadays. So good on him. For Livingston, who were fifth, I've gone for John Guthrie, who was centre back. He got the Livingston kind of Player of the Year awards, and they are, you know, whatever they call it, their virtual season, end of season awards. He got their Player of the Year. They signed him start of the season. He played the centre of a back three for the majority of the season. And he also scored 6 league goals in a debut season, which is pretty decent numbers for, you know, for a centre back. And a Livingston team that had loads of standout performers. But again, you know, the likes of Lyndon Dykes and Marvin Bartley, who played really well, came in positions where there was, you know, lots of other good players. And I needed a centre back, so went for John Guthrie, and I'm kind of pretty pleased with that because, you know, I picked him looking at his stats and I'd seen him a couple of games, like a good, you know, a defender that defends manfully. He knows his job and he gets on with it. And then I looked on the Livingston Player of the Year awards and I saw that they'd given it to him. So I was pretty pleased with my choice.
I've probably taken an easy option here, but I went for Big Lyndon Dykes. He's one of my front three. So obviously we're talking about kind of debut seasons. I think he's been very impressive this year. 9 goals, but I think he's had as many yellows and reds. I think 8 yellows and 1 red. So he's obviously a very physical player, but he's technically gifted as well. Obviously his goal against Celtic at the beginning of the season is a great finish. That game in particular, he bullied the Celtic defence. I know Big Julian was very nervous that game.
There wasn't much better the second time he played them either, to be fair.
But he'd done the same thing to, I remember,
Hellander, wasn't
I think maybe Katic. He's probably done it in every game that he's played against Old Firm this season.
He's a big game player, isn't he? That's why I quite like him.
Definitely. I think Katic, I remember in an interview, he was quite vocal about how difficult it was to play against him, and he absolutely battered him that game at Ibrox. I think he still managed to win 3-1, but I've always been impressed with many times I've seen him, because he is very physical, but at the same time he's got a good touch, and obviously he can finish as well. So Dykes, one of my front three.
For myself, I've gone for Guthrie as well. I was kind of torn between him and Stephen Lawless, who's had a very good season as well for Livingston. But I needed a centre-half, and obviously with him getting Livingston's Player of the Year and with the goals that he scored as well, I've just slotted him in my back four there. So pretty much all in the same kind of line as the points you raised, Hamish. I've put him in my back four as well.
Right, into the top four now. Aberdeen, who finished fourth. Who have you gone for, Fisher?
I've gone for Lewis Ferguson. I've put him in the middle of the park, a lot of energy. Interestingly enough, he is the highest fouled player in the league with 79 fouls. Another stat, rhyming off the stats.
He's probably you know, near top of the most fouls conceded as well. So you get stuck in.
Absolutely, it's the old Scottish thing about putting yourself about in it. But he is a good player. There is a lot of talk about him maybe coming to Ibrox, which I'm not 100% sure of, but I do think he is a good player. Only get the two goals this season, so needs to add that to his game. But again, any time I've seen him, and admittedly Aberdeen versus Rangers games are pretty high intensity, high tempo games anyway, but any time I have seen him, I have been impressed, and I think it's probably a steady improvement on last year. So I've put him in my midfield there.
Gamble?
I've went for Mr. Consistent for Aberdeen, Andrew Considine. I struggled a bit with Aberdeen, not going to lie. I was torn between Ferguson and Considine, but I went for Considine in the end because I needed a centre-half. So I've slotted him in. To be fair to him, he has had another consistent season. For Aberdeen, obviously, I don't think they've had a particularly great season as a team, but yeah, he's certainly in games that I've seen. Not the first game we played Aberdeen at Ibrox this season, obviously, but the two following that, he's been solid. I think he scored against, is it Pittodrie? I think, I'm sure he made it two each, and then he was solid against us at Ibrox when we drew 0-0. So. As I say, just a consistent player for Aberdeen. Obviously been there a long time now, and every season he's kind of playing near enough every single game. So Andrew Considine for me.
Solid choice. I've gone for Lewis Ferguson as well. I was looking at Aberdeen, and you know, Sam Cosgrove was the obvious one that stood out, but you know, he scored 11 goals, which I think it's a decent tally for the league, but I don't know if I was expecting, you know, more from just how many times I'd seen his name pop up on a Saturday afternoon at 3 o'clock or whatever. Next best Aberdeen player was in six, which again I found surprising for a team that's, you know, so near the top of the table and have scored so freely in previous seasons. So I went for Lewis Ferguson because of that. I didn't want to go for Cosgrove or Niall McGinn, who was second choice. I needed a centre midfielder, and you know, I quite like that midfield duo of Scott Allen and Lewis Ferguson. I was going to say it could be a Scotland midfield duo, but I think, you know, Allen's a bit over the hill for that now. But they're two players, you know, that would complement each other quite well. See, I've taken this seriously. I've looked at chemistry and all that in the team. Yous are picking like daft. Well, I've just 4-3-3s with three central forwards playing in a front three.
I've got Jason Kerr and Considine centre-back, so...
Aye, I've just based all mine on, like, XG and stats and all that stuff. I've not actually taken into consideration where boys play.
Three different approaches. Right, Motherwell, I've gone for Jermaine Hilton on the left wing. He played a lot of football. When I think of Motherwell this season, I think of their pacey wingers and, you know, their pace from midfield getting into the box. I think that's what, you know, was a hallmark of Stephen Robinson's team this season, and Hilton was the one that sprung out to me. I needed a left winger as well, which helped, and you know, I was quite impressed every time I saw him this season. As I say, he played a lot of football. I think he only scored a couple of goals, which put me off a little bit, and also in the kind of couple of months before, you know, the season ended, he was kind of coming in and out of the team a little bit, and he was getting taken off after, you know, an hour, 65 minutes. But I suppose that's, you know, the nature of a winger. He's usually the first one to come off, when even if your team's winning or whatever, for fresh legs. So now, I was quite impressed with him this season, so I've gone for him on the left wing. And there's a few other players from Motherwell I thought of, and I'm sure you guys will come on to them as well. Fisher?
So Motherwell wise, I've taken their manager. I've gone for Stephen Robinson. I think he's probably been my manager of the year in the top flight. When you look at the fact he's finished 9th, 7th and 8th before with Motherwell, to go in 3rd this season, qualified for Europe. Quite a significant kind of turnover in playing squad as well. He's brought in the likes of kind of Declan Gallagher, Liam Polworth, Chris Long. And, you know, if you watch Motherwell compared to last season, or the season before that in particular, I think their style of football is drastically different. They play, it's a lot nicer on, or easier on the eye. Not to sound disparaging, because at the end of the day, you need to play to your strengths and you need to play to the playing squad that you've got. And he did do that, and they were fairly comfortable in finishing where they did in their previous seasons. But obviously, a club like Motherwell wouldn't be up challenging for Europe and things like that. So they've done that. And I was impressed. I was impressed with the way he's kind of turned it around. Changed the kind of playing style and things like that. I read an article earlier today how he wants to get Motherwell playing like Pep does at Man City. I don't know if that's quite achievable, but certainly... you know, you can see that Motherwell have changed their style of play and it's worked for them. So Robinson, manager for me, and would be my manager of the year as well.
See, all joking aside, they do have one of the best surfaces, if not the best surface in the league. So if you're going to, you know, if there's going to be a team out with Celtic and Rangers that wants to pass the ball and move it around, then there's not a better option on a surface like that than Motherwell have. So I don't think he's going to get them to Pep level, but, you know, they can certainly play some good football, and they did play some good football this season as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's weird as well when you continue, maybe when you kind of contemplate 10, 12 years ago, it was always a thing about Fir Park being like a kind of tie field, you know what I mean? But as you say, the surface there is really good. And as I said, the stats back that up as well. They've actually averaged 25 more passes per game and 9.5 less long balls. So, you know, the stats are there. It's not just a case of it's easier on the eye. The stats do back it up, and fair play to them. They fully deserve to finish where they finished this season.
Yeah, Robinson for me as well. So my Motherwell picks in the dugout. Just, pretty much everything Fish was saying there. I mean, the job he's done, especially on the budget that they've got, is quite incredible. Again, as Fisher said, to go from 8th last season to obviously 3rd this season back in Europe. And obviously just, I mean, a lot's been made about Motherwell and the kind of physical side to their play, especially under Robinson. But not just the kind of turnaround in terms of league position, but exactly as, again, Fish has said, the kind of playing style. They played some really nice stuff this season. And it'll be interesting. I know, obviously, Northern Ireland still looking for a manager, aren't they? After O'Neill was left, isn't that right in saying?
Mm-hmm. I think so. I've missed it. If they've appointed anyone, I've not seen it.
So it'll be interesting to see, obviously, if they were to make an approach for him. I think he's certainly earned the right to be getting mentioned amongst the names for that job. But I think himself, he is quite a competitive nature, so he'll definitely be looking to, now that he's got them into Europe, to see how far they can go, and hopefully it's a lot better than previous Motherwell European campaigns.
Very good. Right, second place boys, Rangers, just to remind you. Who's your player? Because obviously you guys, all joking aside, will know better than me who, you know, starred for Rangers. In fact, I'll give you mine first and tell me what you think. And then I've just looked and realised that it's the obvious choice because I've left out my two strikers, so you know what's coming. Morelos, I've picked him. Think back to the bits I've seen of Rangers. Ryan Jack's been good. Barisic has been good. Aribo was good. But I just thought Morelos, for what he gave you in the first half of the season, was the obvious choice. And, you know, with my team, I've kind of started slowly with a pretty dodgy back four. You know, we're not going to keep many clean sheets, but we go forward and we've got firepower there with Scott Allen, Lewis Ferguson, a Celtic striker that we'll come on to, and obviously Morelos. So, yeah, that's my thinking. I've taken this quite seriously, but I think he's the obvious choice. He's Rangers' best player, and especially, I know he kind of tailed off in the second half of the season, but the first half of the season he was unplayable. You could argue that I think he finished 4th top scorer in the Premiership, if I'm right in saying. The majority of his goals, or his big goals, came in Europe, and we've not really discussed whether we're selecting this on the entire season or just the league for it. I think we have to do it in the entire season, don't we, and kind of take everything into account. And for that, if you include all his European goals, some of the finishes in Europe were brilliant. And he's the obvious choice for me from your club.
I've went the very man. I went for Morelos as well, and I was kind of huffing and puffing about whether to pick him, because I've still kind of fallen out with him a bit just about our whole capitulation after the break. And obviously, it's not solely down to him, but having him available for selection in the games that we had after the break would have certainly helped. But yeah, I kind of thought about it, as you said there, Hamish. When I made my decision to keep him in, it was when I thought about his performances as a whole in every game that we played. In the first half of the season, he was unstoppable at times. I was watching the highlights again of the game against Feyenoord away from home.
That's the one that springs to mind. I think the two finishes in that game were amazing.
At that point, he was like, as I say, he was pretty unstoppable. And I hope he's still here for next season, because I think he's got a bit of unfinished business. The obvious one being that he's still in search of a certain goal, but. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first half of the season he was incredible. If he was to have kept that up into the second half, and obviously the season got called off short, but we would have been struggling to hold on to him. So maybe that might kind of play into our hands a little bit in terms of him still being a Rangers player next season. So El Buffalo made it into the squad for me.
For sure.
Oh, I feel like I'm going to get pelters for this one. I put Connor Goldson in at centre half. I know he has his critics, and I've been one of them, don't get me wrong, but I think he's a lot better than he's been given credit for. Don't get me wrong, I think if there hadn't been players in the midfield that I'd kind of wanted in there, I probably would have picked Ryan Jack. I think Ryan Jack was probably, over the full course of the season, I think player of the season. Morelos, for me, he just kind of tailed off so dramatically in the new year. The player that you saw against Feyenoord was vastly different to the player you saw, for example, in the new year, only kind of scoring the one goal against Hamilton. So for me, I think that cost Morelos. It was between Morelos, Jack and Goldson. As I say, Goldson, he's a lot better on the ball than he's given credit for. I mean, he's passing accuracy, easy for me to say, is over 70%. He wins most of his aerial duels as well, which is sitting at like over 75% or something mental like that. I just think when you look at the defenders Rangers have got, obviously, personally, I prefer Hellander. I think Hellander's good at all in terms of defensively and bringing the ball out for the back. But I think Goldson does get a hard rap, and I think he has been fairly consistent when you consider Tavernier had that spell kind of late August through to November where he wasn't great. Barisic has only really came good this season. Katic has had a bit of a wobble after the break, and obviously Hellander's been injured. So I think when you consider everybody in the defence, and certainly everybody after the new year, you know, it's difficult to pick if you're going kind of from January onwards. But before that, I think whilst Goldson, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he was amazing, but I think he's a lot better than he was given credit for, and he's at the back there for me.
I've already kind of alluded to my Celtic choice, Edward. I just think the partnership of Edward and Morelos together, 34 league goals I've got there. If you were to, you know, extend that to all the various competitions, you're probably looking, well, certainly at least 50, if not more. So, yeah, Edward for me, Celtic's best player this season, probably by a fair bit as well. Just for me, the best player we've got. And, you know, up until this season, we've probably seen bits of it, and he'd scored some really big goals and put in some really big performances in big games. But I think this season what we saw was the consistency. I think back to, you know, the game away at Fir Park that we won at the kind of start of this year, February time, and he was absolutely brilliant that night, just absolutely unplayable and just a joy to watch as well. And you know, as you say, Craig, that you want Morelos to be there next season, I'm hoping obviously the same for Edward. I think both players will be there next year. I just don't think this is the right time to sell either player, and I don't even know, you know, how many clubs other than Chelsea have the money kicking around that it would take to buy either. So I think they'll both be there, but for me, you know, having Edward in the team is a given. I thought about, you know, Ryan Christie and Fraser Forster sprung to mind as well, but just with the way my team kind of worked out, I wanted to save the top two teams for the front two positions, and I have Edward and Morelos up top, so that's what I've gone for.
Yeah, I went for Edouard as well. I think what you're saying there, him and Morelos are probably a class above kind of everybody else in the league of Celtic. We've had some fairly good, well, not fairly good, very good performers this season, let's be honest. All in. But Edouard, for me, is him and Morelos are the top two players in the league. I'll let people decide what order that goes in. I've got my own thoughts on that, but no, I mean, I think Edouard averaged just about a goal per game, or a goal every 90 minutes last season. So yeah, Edouard goes into the team for me.
Yeah, Edouard for me as well. Pretty much just, again, echo what you guys have said. I think him especially, kind of, obviously a lot's been made about the kind of, as I say, capitulation of Rangers and how badly our performances and results turned after the break. But I think, obviously, Celtic were pretty ruthless since the Old Firm game at New Year. And he kind of epitomised that, I think, his performances, as you mentioned, won Hamish the Motherwell game, and there was a good few others where he was unplayable at times. And 22 goals, 7 assists. I thought about maybe putting James Forrest in my team. I think he's been a bit of an, I was going to say unsung hero this season. I think he gets quite a bit of stick off a Celtic fan. I've always found a bit harsh at times. I think, was it 14 assists or something like that? He got 14, 15. But no, I think, yeah, Edouard, it kind of had to be him. As you say, I think they both will be there. Him and Morelos will both be playing in Scotland still next season, but I hope Edouard isn't, to be honest.